Good morning. I'm so glad you could be with us this morning as we continue in our series, Minor Prophets, Major Truths. Today, we're going to look at a very small book sandwiched between Amos and Jonah, which is the book of Obadiah. And it's one chapter, and we're going to look at it today. And the title of today's message is Pride Goes Before a Fall. We've all heard that saying. And it is a biblical saying, comes from Proverbs, but it also comes from this chapter, this book of the Bible. So we're going to look into that today, and we're going to move forward from there. Now, before I begin, I want to let you know that in Obadiah, the prophet, has a very, very harsh word for the people of Edom. Now, just to give you a little background on who the people of Edom are, just before we go any further, for those of you who don't know, the Edomites are the descendants of Esau. Esau was the brother of Jacob, the grandchildren of Abraham. And if you don't remember the story or don't know the story today, Abraham had Isaac, Isaac had Jacob and Esau, or their wives did. And Jacob and Esau were rivals right from the time of their conception. They were actually rivals in the womb. As Esau was the firstborn, Jacob was hanging onto his ankle, trying to pull him back into their mother's womb so he could be the firstborn, is the thought process there. But they remained rivals throughout their lives, to the point where Jacob actually stole his brother's birthright. He tricked their father Isaac into putting his blessing on him, Jacob, who would become Israel, instead of putting his blessing on the firstborn son, Esau. So Jacob and Esau really didn't like each other very much. And this rivalry has gone down through the generations into their people. So the Edomites and the Israelites were not very good neighbors. They didn't like each other. They weren't definitely following the biblical principle of love your neighbor as yourself. They didn't like each other. They were constantly bickering. And this is where Obadiah comes in with his words for Edom. So let's look as a start at Obadiah verses 1 and 2. And it says this. This is the vision that the sovereign Lord revealed to Obadiah concerning the land of Edom. We have heard a message from the Lord that an ambassador was sent to the nation to say, get ready, everyone. Let's assemble our armies and attack Edom. The Lord says to Edom, I will cut you down to size among the nations. You will be greatly despised. How would you like that message to come to you? I'm going to cut you down. I'm going to take what you have and make you basically a laughingstock, make you take all your power and authority and take it away from you. That is the message that Obadiah is delivering to Edom. And there's a reason that this message is coming forth from God to Edom. And as we see, as we move forward, you'll see more clearly, it's all about Edom's pride. Edom had a real problem with pride. And we'll see that as we get into some of these verses a little bit farther. But as I said earlier, pride comes before a fall. Pride often causes us to fall because of our pride. And we'll see some of that as we go through. But how does pride make us fall? That's what I want to look at this morning. How does pride cause Edom to have this great fall? And they did have this great fall. Down the road, again, Obadiah is a prophet. He's telling them what's coming, and it came. But What about their pride caused them to fall? Well, I see two major things I want to talk about today that pride does to us. And not only did it do it to Edom, it does it to all of us when we get too proud. And the first thing is, pride blinds Edom to their need of God. How often do we, in our own pride, forget about God? How often in our own pride do we not see a need for God because we're proud? I can do this on my own. I can make it on my own. Whatever. I have this. I have that. I don't really need God. And sometimes we're not saying that in our own head, but you know, we're not actually saying that out loud. We're not actually even thinking that. But our subconscious comes to believe that. You see, pride makes us feel self-sufficient. Pride has made Edom feel self-sufficient. Pride's telling them they have no need of God. Now, understand the line of Edom and where it comes from. These are the grandchildren and great-grandchildren and however many generations of grandchildren of Abraham, the father of Israel, the father of the children. Their background is that of needing God. But Edom has forgotten that. And Edom was proud here in four different ways. And we're going to just examine them really quickly this morning and look at the four ways in which Edom was proud. First and foremost, Edom trusted in their own might, or Edom trusted in their might. Let's look at verse 3 for a second here. It says this: "You have been deceived by your own pride, because you live in a rock fortress and make your home high in the mountains. Who can ever reach us way up here?" you asked boastfully. You see, Edom, the city, was built up in the mountains. In fact, many of you, if you watch any movies, have probably actually seen some of the ruins or the remnants of the city of Petra, which was Edom's city, their capital. It is high up in the mountains. There is actually a gully you have to go through, like a chasm in the rocks, to get to Edom. Very easy to defend. There's only one way in. And it was about 1.2 kilometers, what they say, chasm that you had to navigate through to get to where the city of Petra was. And big chunks of the city of Petra were actually built into the side of the mountain. Again, I said you've probably actually seen ruins or remnants or archaeological digs of the city of Petra because they're in lots of movies. It was in Transformers. It was in one of the Indiana Jones movies, among many others, where you see the city and it's built into the side of the rock, and there's these great gods or figures on and columns, and you had to go into the rock to enter the city. And that is the city of Petra. It was mighty. It was fortified. It would be near impossible to attack with any ease or with any ability to actually fulfill what you were trying to do. And Edom trusted in that. They trusted in their own might. Edom also trusted in their riches. If we look at verse 6, it says this: "Every nook and cranny of Edom will be searched and looted. Every treasure will be found and taken." You see, Edom had great treasure. They were not a poor people. But they trusted in that treasure. They trusted in the things they had. Not only did they trust in their might, but they trusted in their wealth. How often do we do that today? But I'll get to that in a minute. Edom also trusted in their allies. You see, Edom was well-liked, or at least thought they were well-liked among the nations around them. In fact, Israel was not well-liked. Edom was. And they trusted that their allies would help to keep them safe. They trusted in their friends to keep them safe. But that's not what's going to happen. This word that comes to them tells them actually the exact opposite. You're trusting in your friends, but you can't. Verse 7 of Obadiah says this: all your allies will turn against you. They will help to chase you from your land. They will promise you peace while plotting to deceive you and destroy you. Your trusted friends will set a trap for you, and you won't even know about it. See, Edom was trusting in their friends, in their allies. And yet, it was their allies that were going to help bring ruin to the people of Edom. And finally, the people of Edom, the Edomites, trusted in their own wisdom. They were trusting in their own intelligence, in their own way of thinking. They thought they knew it all. They thought they knew what they needed to know. And they trusted in that. Verse 8 puts it this way: at that time, not a single wise person will be left in the whole land of Edom, says the Lord. For on the mountains of Edom, I will destroy everyone who has understanding. Isn't it interesting? They're trusting in their wisdom, not the wisdom of God. We often can do the same thing. We trust in the wisdom we have. And the Bible actually says about our own wisdom, it's as foolishness to God. The Bible tells us we cannot understand the mind of God because He is so much higher than us. And yet, Edom is trusting in their own wisdom. Now, all of these things I've talked about, trusting in your might, trusting in your friends, your allies, trusting in your own wisdom, trusting in your own riches. Does that not sound like the world we live in today? At least here in the Western world, in Western civilization, we tend to trust in our things. We tend to trust in our wealth. We tend to trust in our friends. We tend to trust in our own wisdom. Much like the Edomites, we trust in things like our RSPs, our jobs, our friends, our co-workers. We trust in our own brilliance and intelligence. We as human beings have a great tendency towards pride. We might trust in our education. We might trust, again, in whatever, our investment portfolio. We might even trust in things that like our work ethic. Well, I'll always be fine because I have a great work ethic. And by the way, none of these things in and of themselves is a problem. It's not a problem to have investments. It's not a problem to have an education and be well educated. It's not a problem to have a great work ethic. In fact, all of these things on their own are actually good things. It's when we begin to trust in them and forget about our need for God that they become a problem. I know I struggle with some of these myself, and this might be Pastor Paul confession time, I don't know. But I know as I looked at one of those, and I looked at that wisdom section, and I know that's one of my biggest struggles, is I trust in my own intelligence. And I don't know where that comes from. Maybe it's how I was raised with my parents because they were very trusting in their intelligence. I was told from the time I was a little kid that, oh, you score high on IQ charts and this and that. And why don't you do better in school because you're more intelligent than what your marks show. That's mainly because I was lazy. But I've always had this thing, and I always have to struggle and pull myself back. And God pulls me back often. But I go through lots of times where I think, I'm smarter than everybody else. I often joke, I'm never wrong. Well, I'm going to make an admission today. I am wrong sometimes. Not often, but I am wrong at times. No, I'm wrong very often, and God reveals it to me. But I struggle with some of this every day myself. Trusting in myself. Well, I know how to fix this problem. And oftentimes, as I try to fix this problem, the problem only gets bigger because I'm trusting in my own wisdom, my own understanding, my own intelligence, And God brings me back and says, no, you need to trust in me. You need to listen to me. You need to hear my wisdom. You need to hear my voice. So it's very easy for us to do. We all have these struggles. But again, let's get back to it. Pride goes before a fall. When we're too proud to understand that God knows better than us, that God has more than us, that God is our protector, that God is the friend we should lean on, that's when we get in trouble, when we forget those things. Pride also, the second point today, pride blinds Edom of their need of others. I don't know if you're going to catch that, but when we're proud, we forget our need for other people. We forget our need for those around us. So pride blinds Edom to the needs of others. And we're often, in our pride, we not only forget our need of others, but we forget that others have needs. We miss it. Have you ever been in that situation where you see someone in need and you think, oh, well, serves them right. They must have got themselves in that place. Am I the only one today that's ever had that horrible, horrible thought? See, when we're proud, we think we're better than other people. Edom thought they were better than Israel. Edom thought they were better than those people around them because of their pride. And that caused Edom to do something terrible and horrible. When Israel was taken captive, Edom used that situation to take advantage of Israel's captivity. Now you say, I would never do that, Pastor Paul. I would never take advantage of someone's hurts, someone's struggles. But I'm telling you right now, humanity does it all the time. And Edom did it in three ways, and we're going to look at them really quickly. First of all, Edom cheered the fall and destruction of Israel. They were happy about it. Now again, I understand these were not good neighbors. But we're to love our enemies as we love ourselves as believers. As the children of God, Edom should have had love and compassion for their neighbors, for their cousins. Let's be honest here. The Edomites and the Israelites are all cousins. They all come from the seed originally of two brothers, twin brothers. And yet Edom cheered the fall of Israel. Verse 12 says this. You should not have gloated when they exiled your relatives to a distant land. You should not have rejoiced when the people of Judah suffered such misfortune. You should not have spoken arrogantly in that terrible time of trouble. Here's Edom, their relatives, their cousins, come under captivity from another nation. And here's Edom cheering that and gloating in that and reveling in the fact that Israel has been taken captive. Judah has been taken captive. That's terrible. We think, oh, I would never do that. But I'll get to that in a minute. The second thing Edom did during this time is they looted Judah, or they looted Israel. Verse 13. You should not have plundered the land of Israel when they were suffering such calamity. You should not have gloated, again, back to the gloating, over their destruction when they were suffering such calamities. You should not have seized their wealth when they were suffering such a calamity. You see, here's Edom's cousins being taken captive, and they go in and loot all their possessions. They go in and loot their treasures. That's a horrible thing to do to anybody, let alone your relatives. But in their pride and in their arrogance, they cheered and they took. And finally, the people of the Edomites used Israel's fall to take advantage for themselves. Verse 14 says this: "You should not have stood at the crossroads, killing those who tried to escape. You should not have captured the survivors and handed them over in their terrible time of trouble." Here's Edom. Israel is being taken captive, and they are helping the enemy. They're helping kill the Israelites who are escaping. They're capturing the Israelites who are escaping, and they're handing them over to these foreign invaders. Now, why would they do that? Why would you ever do that? Well, you're taking advantage of the situation. You're using what's going on in Israel to score points with Israel's enemy. You're not going to hand them over as captives for no reason. It's giving you something. It's brownie points, for lack of a better term. And this is what Edom is doing because of their pride, because of their arrogance. Now, we would say, well, we would never do that today. We would never do that. Go study the history of some of our wars. People take sides. People often take the wrong side. But even better, all you have to do today is look at some of the stuff we put on television. We have these things called reality shows, which aren't reality at all. Where, what do people do? Someone is suffering. What do? They pile on. They scheme to try to bring this person or that person down. It happens, I'm going to tell you, it happens in office places, in work situations. Someone makes a mistake, and we pile on. We keep them down. We push them farther down. We try to irritate the situation. If you don't want to think we do this, all you have to do is look at social media once in a while. I tend to try to stay away from it, but I'm really big on being on Twitter. I don't say much on Twitter, but I'm there. And I'm there because it's a recruiting tool as a football coach. It's a recruiting tool as a parent of a player looking to be recruited. So almost all of my Twitter is sports related. I was reading Twitter, and the story came up about a U.S. track athlete. This is going on right now. Her name is Sha'Carri Richardson, and she has been banned or suspended for a month for using marijuana. And I'm not here to get into whether that should be an international sports rule, none of that. I don't want to talk about any of that today. But she did this, got caught, now she can't go to the Olympics, to make a long story short. And some people were coming to her defense on Twitter. And some of their arguments were well-founded arguments, others were really just dumb. You hear people saying, well, just let her go anyways. Now, she handled the situation really, really well from all I can read and see. She admitted she made a mistake. She actually gave the reason why she made the mistake, and she accepted gracefully the punishment, which a lot of athletes don't do today when they get caught doing something. They deny, they lie, they do all. But she was very graceful, and I give her all kinds of credit for that. But in that, there were the people on this side that I say were defending her, and then there were the people just piling on. Well, you stupid person, You knew the rule. You blew it. Too bad for you. And it only got worse. I actually finally just stopped reading the one post because I couldn't listen to these people. It went from this little issue to 26 other issues, and I just couldn't deal with it. But that's our society. We want to pile on in some of these situations. I don't know, maybe it makes us feel better about who we are, but we do it. But what did Jesus teach us? Jesus taught us to love our neighbor, to love our enemy. And Edom here does not show any love to Israel. And oftentimes we don't show love. I think a lot of it comes down to pride. We feel better about ourselves when others hurt. But there's an old saying, there but for the grace of God go I. I tried to come up with the origins of that phrase, but there's arguments all over the place as to where it actually originated, so I'm not going to get into any of them today. But there but for the grace of God go I. As Christians today, as believers today, we need to squash our pride and understand only by the grace of God am I not in that situation. It's only by God's grace that that's not me. You see, because without God's grace, none of us would be alive. None of us would have any justification for being allowed to live, for being allowed to flourish. But God is gracious. God doesn't want to just zap us all down when we sin. We've all sinned. We've all made mistakes. We've all done wrong in the eyes of God. And yet in His graciousness, He sent Jesus to forgive us. In His graciousness, He sent Jesus to die on a cross to purchase our forgiveness. And He's sent Jesus to teach us how to live the way God wants us to live. And God wants us to live humbly. The word says, walk humbly before your God. Walk humbly in this world. See, none of us are any greater than anyone else. We're all human beings loved by God, created in His image, created to serve Him, to love Him, to walk in relationship with Him. Now, maybe this morning that's the first time you ever heard this, that God loves you, that God sent His Son to die for you. And you don't know what to do with that. There's an easy thing you can do with that. All you need to do is in your heart accept that forgiveness today. Say a quick prayer. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God that you would be able to serve Him, to walk in relationship with Him, to honor Him with your life, to walk humbly before Him. If you're in that situation today, if that's your prayer today, we want to help you walk out this new relationship with God. All we ask you to do right now is text the word love to the church telephone number at 416-267-1189, and we will follow up with you and help you on this new journey you're taking in life. And for all of us today, whether you just prayed that prayer just now for the first time, or whether you've been walking with Jesus for 50 or 60 years, maybe more, I encourage you today, walk humbly before God. Do not let pride come between you and God. Do not let pride tell you you don't need God anymore. Do not let pride keep you from reaching out to others in need. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You today that you are a loving God, that you love every one of us here on earth, every one of your children. We thank you that you sent your son to die for every one of your children. So Lord, help us as your people today to walk humbly before you, to not let pride go before a fall, to not let pride come into our lives and thus cause us to fall. Help us to be humble and understand our need for you, Jesus. Help us to be humble and see the needs of those you've put around us, that we can love on them and help them through their times of need, in their times of need, through their times of struggle. Lord, this week, take us to places and show us people in need, and then help us to reach out to them, that you would be brought glory and honor, Jesus. Lord, be with us, bless us, keep us until we come together again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're so glad you could be with us this morning. We pray you have a wonderful week. We trust again that you will join us again next weekend, either online or in person. We're back open in person. And so if you live locally, the building is open. We do have COVID protocols to still go through. So if you want to come and join us on site, you'll need to go to the church website and click get your ticket for adults. You can even bring your kids. Kids ministry is back on. There's a button to register your kids' seat. And we'd love you to do this and come be with us live and in person. Again, seating is limited, so if you want to get your ticket, get it early in the week. But have a great week. God bless you. Be safe.